Shut up and sit down.
Our weekly fantasy sports podcast here on Breakfast with Benz. Jeff Erickson with us, as always, from RotoWire, best fantasy analyst in the business, best fantasy site in the business. It's RotoWire. Jeff, thanks for taking time to join us in advance of a big one for you. As a Bengals guy, you got Miami and Tua and the Red Hot Dolphins coming into Cincinnati. Do the Bengals pull the plug on the unbeaten season for the Dolphins?
It's possible. I mean, they got on track, albeit against the Jets. Like to see them do that against a real team that can rush the passer. So we'll see if they fix their offensive line woes, because that is definitely a problem. I mean, they started off against two of the top pass rushes in the game in Pittsburgh with T.J. Watt for most of that game, and then Micah Parsons and the Cowboys the following week. And clearly they had some things to fix there, and, you know, they got on the right path at least.
Melvin Ingram, the defensive player of the month in the National Football League, the ex-Steeler, finding Miami whatever he didn't find in Pittsburgh. So maybe that continues tonight. I was looking at some over-unders, Jeff. I know you guys dabble in some gambling lines as well, and it's plus 100 right now for Ingram to get a sack. I like that one. I played that one. I think he gets at least a half a sack and goes over.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. Especially if he lines up over right tackle. Lyle Collins has really struggled so far this year, and he's playing compromised every single week with injuries. In a short week, it seems like that's a pretty good combo. I think the Bengals did fix some things. I think they found more short reads for Joe Freudian. Burrow. Well, the thing is, I just finished doing an update on Andy Dalton because he might be starting for the Saints this week. So, that was on my mind just recently. So, but yeah, I think they fixed some things there for the Bengals. So, be interesting to see you tonight. Tua's listed as questionable, but he's going to play. Jalen Waddle's listed as questionable, but he's going to play. But they might be a little less than 100%. You know, less short rest week for them too, and they had to travel and they had to get out of Miami early. Fortunately, it looks like Miami was spared for most of the trouble with Ian. We'll see how that affects their play tonight, though.
Jeff, I kind of got screwed by the Bengals last week in the sense that I've got T. Higgins in one league that's very touchdown-oriented, and he had a good day, 93 yards, but didn't score, and then Chase didn't put up big numbers but did score.
You know, I think you got screwed by the refs. Higgins
had that
toe-tap touchdown, but he rolled his heel down. Had he lifted his foot back up and then got the full foot down after that, it would have been fine. If you just want to tap, then lift the foot and put it fully down after that, it would have been fine. But because the back part of his foot came down, they ruled him out of bounds. And it's the toe-heel situation. And you see other pass catchers, it's just, you know, you got to lift those feet after that. I mean, he made an incredible catch. I'm not even thinking of blaming him for this, but you were that close to scoring is the point.
I've got, as my receivers, DJ Moore, DJ Chark, and Higgins in one league. Do I trust that Godwin's back healthy enough? Do I trust that Devonta Smith, another guy I have on the bench, is going to carry over from last week to replace any of those guys?
Yeah, I don't think I don't think you can use Chark right now. So I think I definitely use Smith over Chark. And then with Godwin, I need to see the Friday practice report. Looks like they're going to play that game in Tampa, by the way. So good news for that, at least as far as that goes, amidst all the other destruction in Florida right now.
So I got my brains kicked in. Well, I shouldn't say that, actually. I was losing, and then I scrambled back to make it close. I would have won if I had played my bench. I had one of those weeks. Like, I had Jamal Williams on the bench. I had Khalil Herbert on the bench.
I have leagues like that too, but you know, it's just, what can you do?
Would you start Herbert or Williams over Javonte Williams or Dalvin Cook at this point? I wouldn't over Dalvin Cook yet. What about Javonte Williams?
No, not so much. Okay. I want to, again, there's so many different moving parts there. We saw Dalvin Cook on the practice field today. It looks like he might play. We'll see. I think he was limited in practice. And then, you know, you want to check on the status of Montgomery in the case of Herbert.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that. I think there's something there. There's a reason why I liked him. There's a reason why I picked him up late. And when other things aren't working, maybe just go that route. So I'm considering him, if not for that, then for a flex. My gosh, my tight ends are really letting me down. George Kittle finally plays and doesn't do much. I have Kyle Pitts in another league, and Pitts still isn't doing anything.
He was better this past week. They targeted him really. He had like 80 yards, and a lot of that was in the first half. So I came away from that game a little encouraged, actually. You know, he didn't get the red zone. He didn't get the touchdown. You said you're in a touchdown heavy league.
Yeah, this is a touchdown heavy league. Yeah, that hurts a lot because it's the other league that's more of a traditional scoring league. And, you know, that's the one where Austin Eckler and Ezekiel Elliott just haven't taken over for me at running back as I had hoped. Even though Zeke did get into the end zone in the last game for the Cowboys.
Yeah, he did. He did. And he, you know, that's one thing is I think he's still going to get a lot of that, you know, but Pollard's clearly good. And he, maybe he can't be an every down back, but they need to give him 10 to 15 touches every game.
One thing is clear, Jeff, through the first 3 weeks, league wide trend stuff here, scoring is down. And it's not just down as opposed to, you know, the averages of last year, it's down versus other Septembers. It's down versus other first 3 week snapshots. So this isn't like slow starts for the offense. They always correct, yada, yada. This is slow compared to what it normally is this time of year.
Yes, it is. And I think it's a carryover from like the two deep shell that we've seen last year that affected a lot of teams. You know, some teams were able to overcome it at times, but it's a hard nut to crack. And, you know, defenses adjusted to the high scoring, a lot of passing going on in the game. Now the offense has turned to adjust. I figure out how to beat that.
One other thing that I think is prolific, and I've talked to some other film guys and, you know, stat guys who are on board with this, is the matchup problem that exists in the trenches just about every week. I mean, rare are the weeks, almost never happens, where you look at a game and say, wow, Team X has a pronounced advantage with its offensive line against Team Z's defensive line. Like, the defensive lines across the league are just so much better.
They are. They rotate more. They move around more. Like, you know, T.J. Watt doesn't always line up on the right. I mean, he did quite effectively, but every once in a while you'll see him on the other side. You know, you see pass rushers getting, you know, matched up against different tackles. Micah Parsons, they move him all over the place. And that makes it harder. It makes it harder to scheme for it there. Well, you got to know where your threats are at all times.
I'm thinking what we might see this week, because the NFL, hey, it knows what fantasy is all about for its business. It doesn't like to see low-scoring games. It would prefer to see points artificially inflated if they can't inflate themselves. I think we're going to see a lot of penalties, Jeff, so we might see scoring go up, but not individual numbers go up this week because of penalties.
So you're talking like pass interference penalties, illegal contact, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, late hit on the quarterback, that sort of thing.
Yeah. We also will see, you know, silly, like he talked to him meanly penalties, like we saw with Chris Jones last week.
Yeah.
You know, that was a massive play in the game. Huge play in the game. Game's basically over with, but for that call.
I am seeing, and this kind of correlates a little bit, both of my leagues that I'm in decided to juice up the impact of defense and special teams. So team defense and special teams. And because of some of what we're saying, you know, we've seen defenses score, and we've seen special teams come up with huge plays quite a bit in the first 3 weeks. Have you seen that as well, Jeff, where defense and special teams is influencing the outcome of games more than in recent years?
Oh, 100%. I mean, started on the Thursday night game last week with the last play of the game on that fluky touch, defensive touchdown. That was a huge play. But otherwise, Cleveland's defense wouldn't have done a whole lot for anybody. But look over the weekend. The Eagles had 9 sacks. That in your league, I wonder how much that juiced up, if they juiced up sacks in the league. But
they did, yeah.
You know, so that's a huge, huge score for them right then. And they shut the, you know, they kept the Commanders below 10 points. I know that's a bonus for a lot of people. Utterly dominated game. I mean, it was a shutout into the fourth quarter. I mean, if they had gotten the shutout, it could have been massive for people. We saw a lot of high scoring defenses so far. We saw the Bucs have that huge game against the Saints. Defensive touchdown, multiple turnovers, lots of sacks. That I know I had a league where I was up against them, and I had another league where I had them, and wow, it was massive.
One thing that I noticed, because I lost in my one league by a point, and sorry, I take the back. I lost by 3 points. two of the points, so I still would have lost by a point, but two of the points that helped buffer the difference was when Miami's punter kicked the ball off of his own up back and went out of bounds for safety. I'm like, you know, wait a minute, hold on for a sec, because I was playing against that defense. I was playing against Buffalo's defense. I'm like, Buffalo's defense and special teams never touched the ball there, and they're getting 2 points for this. This is a ripoff.
They forced the protector backwards, Tim.
I guess. something tells me you've got Buffalo's defense and special teams in a league or two based on your reaction there.
No, I don't. I actually did not, because they were playing the Rams in week one, and I thought, oh, I don't even want to start him in week one. It turns out that was a massive mistake. He was huge. They were huge in week one.
Yeah, right, exactly. What are we thinking about some Rams players this week, by the way? They've got the Monday night game, correct?
Yeah, it's going to be another slugfest, not in an offensive sort of way, but a defensive slugfest against the Niners. Two really good defenses. I think you're going to see both teams struggle. I mean, San Francisco really struggled on Sunday night. Luckily, our viewing audience gets to watch them play in a standalone, as my friend Scott P. Nelson likes to call it, an island game, back-to-back weeks. Hate to see that when you got a team that's not scoring. Jimmy G showed exactly why they were so eager to go get Trey Lance and why they were eager to give him the job, because he has those sort of games against tough opponents where he just comes up small. He did the whole step out of the back of the end zone thing. I mean, now granted, this was his second game, game and a half, so you could say that maybe he's behind, or you could just say against a tough opponent, he kind of melts.
Jeff, give me a guy or two at various positions, whatever tickles your fancy on this question here, but a prime time performer, like I was complaining about Eckler before, like a guy of his ilk, a top-notch guy who hasn't done much this year that's going to bounce out this week and have a big week for teams.
Yeah, last week I was telling people to trade four Pitts. I'll stand by that because he did get the yardage at least. Eckler should get well, except Rashawn Slater, their stud left tackle, is out for the season, and their center Corey Linsley's missed the last 2.5 games. And that's a big deal, or last game and a half. Anytime you lose your center, that is a massive deal. But it's against the Texans, who Khalil Herbert just went off against. I think the Chargers have to sit down and take a look at their usage of Eckler. They're just not using him enough. He had 5 carries last week. Now, game flow and turnovers and all that had something to do with it there, and at least they're throwing it to him when they're in catch-up mode. But, I mean, they're giving these early series to Sony Michel. Sony Michel had that pass go through his hands, led to the first turnover of that game. Just got to play your studs, guys. Come on. I understand they want to preserve him from the long haul, so they may not be listening to that, and why would they? I'm a guy sitting in a chair here. But, at the same time, I think that he's probably a good candidate to bounce back this week. This seems like a good get-well game.
Jeff, what are you looking at baseball-wise down the stretch here?
I'm just watching the standings, update constantly in my leagues. Got some pretty big leagues that are in the stretch run where I've got dogs in the fight. So, one day I'm in first, one day I'm in second in my league, and one of them is the NFBC, the National Fantasy Baseball Championship. I got a chance to cash in the overall too. So I'm watching that one closely, probably too closely.
Jeff, what can people find at RotoWire this week?
My rankings, I'm going to do an update for them for the week. It's a tough week. It's always a tough week, but we like to say it's a tough week. We got the London game this week, so make sure you get your lineup set early for the Vikings-Saints. We might have Dalton starting for the Saints. I'll try to handicap how that's going to affect things. Chris Olave was on the rise. I might temper my enthusiasm slightly with the quarterback change if that's what happens. So those are two big things there. And then, of course, just our regular content, our free agent articles, our injury notes. If you want to approach it from a betting angle, we got you covered there too. So check it all out. RotoWire.com/free gets you a free trial. No credit card required.
Jeff, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
It's Jeff Erickson from RotoWire.